Welcome to the Grace Force podcast, everyone. And we're so pleased to have Mother Miriam with us. I'll introduce her in a second, but we always want to start with a little prayer. And of course, we want to call out to St. Michael and all the choirs of angels to be with us in a mighty way. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. St. Michael, the archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. So I'm so excited to have Mother Miriam on with us today. And let the cat out of the bag a little bit. We actually are recording this on the Feast of the Our Lady of the Rosary. So we take a couple days to fix it before we put it up on Wednesday night. So anyway, here we are on the Feast of the Rosary. And Mother Miriam, I've gotten to know her over the past year, and it's just been one of the great joys of my life. A little bit about Mother. Mother Miriam of the Lamb of God is the founder of Daughters of Mary, Mother of Israel's Hope. And it's a new religious congregation currently headquartered in the Diocese of Tulsa. And she's the former Rosalind Moss, was born in a Jewish home in Brooklyn, New York, but converted to evangelical Christianity and then to Catholicism. And she worked on staff at Catholic Answers for 9 years before leaving to found her religious congregation. And she spent some time in Europe with a religious community to just learn the basics of religious life. And Mother also, her order is geared toward families. So the purpose is to help restore God's design for the family. And so Mother said in the past, we want to help Catholic families know who they are, their identity and vocation, and that they are called by God, by love, and for love. We work with non-Catholic families as well. So a great, great mission work to work with Catholic families and all families today. Isn't that a great need? So welcome, Mother Miriam. It's great to have you with us tonight.
Well, Father Rick, it's wonderful to be here with you. I'm delighted. I've loved meeting you, and Doug, Barry, and I go back some years for several conferences, and Life on the Rock, remember that, Doug, at the EWTN conference? Yeah. And I've just loved Doug, most talented fellow under the sun. It's great
he's okay.
To see you both.
Thank you, Mother.
I'm honored.
Thanks, Father.
Look at your hat, Ireland. Where'd you get that? Were you in Ireland?
I was just last fall. I went to Scotland and Ireland. Scotland and Ireland.
Oh, right.
I spoke at a conference, a Lumen Fide conference over there.
Oh, so sure. Very good. Yes.
Several others. So it was a real honor to be there. Yeah.
Yes. Excellent. They do wonderful work. I've been with them.
Yeah. Yeah. So we said as we opened up that we're recording on the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. And so we wanted to talk about the Rosary. Here we are in the month of the Rosary, and so many reasons pray the Rosary too, as we're facing challenges in our culture and our church right now. So we wanted to start out tonight, Mother, if we could, you know, why do you think, why the Rosary? You know, why the Rosary?
If you asked Mary, who's a Jewish mother, she'd say, why not? Why not? You know, what? I think you said it, Father, that I grew up in a Jewish home in Brooklyn. And, you know, when you ask a Jewish mother, Ma, why do we do this? Why? You know, she answers, a standard Jew, don't ask. So our mother told us to pray the Rosary. And we said, but Ma, why? And she might say, don't ask. But she didn't say, don't ask. She gave us for her. You know, our Lord came to us through the mother he created. And he has not just been born through her, but he continues to come through her. And he continues to come as we approach even the second coming. All grace has come to us through the Blessed Mother. And our mother knows how to homeschool her children. Nice. And she gave us the rosary so that we could be saved, so that we could come to the Father. Through her, we could come to our Lord Jesus Christ and truly be saved. She is, I know this might take a whole another program, she is our advocate. She is our mediatrix, and she is our co-redemptrix. And she's given us 15 promises. Father, can I read those really quickly?
Yeah.
Why the rosary? Well, and you know, the rosary is simply a meditation on the mysteries of Christ, on his life. So Catholics, even if you don't know where everything is in Scripture, it's all in Scripture.
Right.
All of it. The rosary is scriptural, and it's a meditation on Mary's Son, who's our Lord, who is God. And she gave it to us because she's a Jewish mother who knows how to homeschool her children.
Yes.
And she looks at us and she says, do I have a son for you? So whether you feel like it, whether you fully understand it, I'm giving you this. It's not just a tool. It is the number one weapon of our warfare. Right, Father?
Exactly.
The rosary, the weapon of our warfare, number one. So Mary says this. Listen up, she says. For those who pray the rosary devoutly, I promise my special protection and graces. Number two, those who shall persevere in the recitation of my rosary, that's Mary's rosary, will receive signal graces. What are signal graces? They are kind of external graces. They're evidence that God is with us. So many things he does. Number three, the rosary will be a very powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, deliver from sin, and dispel heresy. Four, the rosary will make virtue and good works flourish and will obtain for souls the most abundant divine mercies. It will draw the hearts of men from the love of the world and its vanities and will lift them to the desire of eternal things. Oh, that souls would sanctify themselves by this means. These are our mother's words, beloved. Number five, those who trust themselves to me through the rosary will not perish. Our Lady says that. And I'm, Father, I'm going to stop for a minute to say, you know, but people are going to say, but, you know, it's boring. I don't really like to pray the rosary. It doesn't do anything for me. I don't do anything for it. It's really, and you know, two people who don't know each other very, very well, and they spend time together, and it might be a little boring. They want something to do. They want to be on their iPhones while they're together or read. But as they fall in love and as time goes on, they just want to be in one another's presence. And it's how it is with Our Lady. Don't worry about emotions. Don't worry about feelings. That's the devil's tool to take us away because we want to experience things. Just pray the rosary. God will grow us up through that. Number six. Can I continue, Father? Is this okay?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Number six. Whoever recites, this is from Our Lady, beloved. These are your promises. Whoever recites my rosary devoutly, and you say, well, I keep getting distracted. I don't recite it devoutly. Don't worry. You have to start. Don't worry devoutly. If you start, you'll grow into devoutly. Not to worry. Whoever recites my rosary devoutly, reflecting on the mysteries, listen to this, shall never be overwhelmed by misfortune. He will not experience the anger of God, nor will he perish by an unprovided death. The sinner will be converted. The just will persevere in grace and merit eternal life. This is better than winning the rosary. Just praying the rosary. They're better than winning the lottery, I mean. Pray the rosary. This is terrific. Number seven, those truly devoted to my rosary shall not die without the sacraments of the church. Is that a deal or what? I tell
That's
you what, Mary would say, "Oi, have I got a son for you? This is so terrific."
Number I'm going to make a t-shirt out of that, Mother. Oi, have I have a son for you.
Oi, they do I have a son for you. And she does. You know, Protestants are afraid to go to Mary. Don't be afraid. She's a Jewish mother with a run track mind. You'll never meet a Jewish mother that doesn't want you to know her son. I know that. Number eight, those who are faithful to recite my rosary, says Mary, shall have during their life and at their death the light of God and the plenitude of his graces and will share in the merits of the blessed. Number nine, I will deliver promptly from purgatory souls devoted to my rosary. This is winning the lottery. you don't even have to buy a ticket, but you need to pray the rosary. Number That's 10, right. True children of my rosary, Our Lady says, will enjoy great glory in heaven. Number 11, what you shall ask through my rosary, you shall obtain. There's nothing in here about feelings. There's nothing in here about liking the rosary. It's only to take what your mother has given you and grow into it. Mm. Number 12, to those who propagate my rosary, I promise aid in all their necessities. Number 13, I have obtained for my son that all the members of the rosary confraternity shall have as their intercessors in life and in death the entire celestial court. 14, those who recite my rosary faithfully are my beloved children, the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. And finally, number 15, devotion to my rosary is a special sign of predestination. That means you can pretty much tell that you're one of God's children. Mm. This is fantastic. This is fantastic. So you win the lottery. So you have a $2-3 million. So what? A truck can hit you tomorrow. This is for eternity. It's fantastic, beloved. I never knew it until I became Catholic, the treasures God has given us this side of heaven. What do you say, Father?
Well, Doug, what do you got to say to all that?
I mean, that sums it up for the people who question why the rosary. That pretty much sums it up in those 15 promises. And, you know, mothers, you make clear that these are Mary's words. She's the one that gives this to us and tells us this is it. This is quite a package. It's an amazing package deal. Mother, you know, when you present this to people in this way, helping them, you know, try to help them understand this, because, you know, the rosary is that sticking point for a lot of people, because devotion to Mary is a sticking point for a lot of people,
right?
Catholics and non-Catholics alike, but especially for people wanting to understand a little more about the Catholic faith. How do they respond as you lay this out, these 15 promises in this fashion? You know, because you bring a nice joy to it by, you know, she's a Jewish mother, you know, why not? Yeah. So,
you know, I can't say how they respond, Doug, because I've never done this before.
Oh, okay.
I've never gone down the 15 promises. I've read them, but I haven't gone down them. But I'll tell you something. I know how some people respond, even Catholics, Doug. There are Catholics, and you know this, Catholics who say you're overboard with Mary. And I say, you're Catholic? And yes, I said, oh, you have no idea. You're not a Catholic. You're a Protestant in the Catholic Church. No. You have no idea. And you know, God has given us a mother. And we don't worship Mary, but we pray to her. The Apostle Paul says to pray for all men everywhere, that Jesus is the one mediator between God and men. But he says that in 1 Timothy after he says to pray for kings and everybody else. Why do we pray for all one of another? Does that sound right? One another, all one another? Why do we pray? Because Jesus is the one mediator. The reason I can pray for you and you can pray for me is we all go through Jesus to the Father, all of us. But we must pray, Paul says, without ceasing for one another. So Mary prays for us, and we pray to the saints and we ask their help, just the way, Doug, right? I would ask you, Doug, I have a little kink in my neck. Would you pray for me, please? Of course you would.
Yeah,
of course you wouldn't say no. I wouldn't like you if you said no.
I'd say, why not?
Why not? Okay, so can you heal me? No. So why are you going to pray for me? Why am I asking you to pray for me? You're not God, but you're going to pray for me, and God is going to work through your prayer to heal me. The point is that Mary's already in heaven. So how could she hear us? She's not omnipresent like God. She's not omniscient like God. She can't be everywhere. She can't know anything. She doesn't have his power. However, the James says, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. There's nobody more righteous than those already in heaven. Mm. And they have the mind of God, the will of God. Their prayers are much more efficacious. Mm-hmm. And if I can pray for you on earth, how can I ask Mary to pray for me? I can't see her. I can hear her. I can't touch her. I can't telephone her. How is she going to hear me? Because we're in Christ. Mm-hmm. And those who are in heaven are in Christ, done with sin, done with its presence, done with its power, done with the things of the world, like we wish to be one day. And so they're in heaven, and there's no time interference of time and space. We need time and space. We need some form of communication, a letter, a phone call, a video, whatever. We need that form of getting through time and space to one another. But those in heaven are free from time and space. There's no time and there's no space. They're free from all of that. And in Christ, God makes our prayers known to them. And through their prayers for us, God responds.
Yes. And we also, we have the scripture reference. It's one of the most powerful, I think, references in scripture of her intercession and our Lord's response to her at the wedding feast of Cana. I mean, the fact that she says they're out of wine, he says, what does this have to do with me, woman? And it doesn't record that she says anything back to him. You know, I think about, you talk about the Jewish mother of her just thinking, oh, yeah, my son's going to do what I ask him to do. Mm-hmm. And she turns to the servants, do whatever he tells her. I mean, that to me, that powerful reference scripturally, right, for people who struggle with why Mary would intercede for us and why would we have any confidence that our Lord would respond to her intercession. I mean, Mother, is that not just such a powerful, moment to tell us how he responds to his mother's wishes?
Actually, Doug, I was horrified when I first read that. Oh, he called his mother woman. What's that between you and me, woman? I said, Jesus, you talk to your mother like that? The law says you should honor your mother and father. What are you calling your mother woman? That's not respectful. But the fact is, what he was saying to her, Doug, as you know, is that I called you woman, Ma, because it was you to whom I referred when I said to the woman in the garden that her seed, right, shall crush the seed of the serpent, to crush the head of the seed of the serpent. You are that woman, Mom. And he said further, I learned this from Bishop Fulton Sheen, that he said, okay, Ma, you're asking me to perform basically my first demonstrable miracle on earth. I mean, he held the world together from the manger, so it wasn't his first miracle, but the first demonstrable of his 3-year public ministry. It's the first miracle that people saw. Right. And he said, Ma, if I perform this, if I change water to wine, if I make wine, Ma, people are going to begin to understand I'm not just the son of the carpenter, but I'm the son of God, whom this world will crucify. Right. Ma, if I become the new Adam, you're going to become the new Eve. We're not just changing water to wine, but death into life. But in order for that all to happen, I will begin my walk to the cross. So I picture him saying, Doug, so Ma, you know all this now. You want I should make wine. And Bishop Sheen said, who loved him as she did? What love is there for a mother, for a son? And what love would there be for this mother, for this son? So she loved him as no one ever could, but she would not take him from the Father's will. And it was Mary, said Bishop Sheen, that gave her son a Jewish mother's nudge to the cross.
That's beautiful, Mother. Yes. Listen, that's a great place for us to take a short break, and we'll be right back with more of Mother Miriam and Our Lady and the Rosary. We'll be right back.
The Duty of Self-Defense is a book for our time. Self-defense is a basic God-given right, one which must not be taken lightly. This book clearly states what we must do to be ready to defend if we must. In this book, you will learn the basic church teaching when it comes to self-defense, for yourself and others. We have a duty to protect from those acting out in evil, a reality in our world which is becoming more and more obvious. Find this ebook on BattleReadyStrong.com.
We're back, everybody. U.S. Grace Force Podcast here. I'm Doug Berry with Father Richard Heilman, and we are very honored in this episode to have with us Mother Miriam. And we're talking about the power of the rosary, why the rosary, and in this segment, what is the rosary? Mother, this is something that is the great mystery. It's been called the school of the Holy Family. It's just a meditation. As one of my friends said, it's something grandmothers pray and we hear at funerals. A lot of misunderstanding in some cases to what the rosary is. What do you see the rosary as? What do you know that the rosary is? And how do we tell the world what the rosary is so that they can better understand why it's so important to embrace this powerful devotion to our Lord and our Lady?
It is, according to Our Lady, the most powerful weapon we have. I'll show you mine. Can you see?
Yes.
It's a Benedictine rosary, and it's been blessed. And it's a very powerful weapon. It's been exercised. You come near me and you get zapped. This is a powerful, powerful weapon. I want to read just a little bit from a 1944 book by Bishop Sheen on the meaning of the rosary. And it's not very big, and I'm not reading the whole book. I'm just reading the introduction. It'll tell you what the rosary is. I love this. Bishop Sheen, I tell you, one day I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to say, "Hi, Jesus, where's Bishop Sheen?"
I love that man. Me too.
I agree.
He helped me into the church. His books helped me. He wrote a book, if you haven't read it, on the life of Christ. It took him 10 years to write that. 10 years to write that. And then he wrote The World's Most Beloved Woman, I think, rather than Mother. I think the world's, he's fantastic. Okay. He wrote this on what is the rosary. He said, "You have sometimes heard a radio program in which a voice spoke while at the same time music was playing in the background, right? So Doug and Father Rick could be speaking and you could picture a little music in the background. When we say the rosary, something like that occurs. Our lips say the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the glory be to the Father, but our mind, thinking about the life of our Lord, creates a soundless background symphony of thoughts. We get to know it. People say, but it's just by rote. Blessed be God. We know the prayers so well that as we say them, we could be drawing near to God. We could be thinking about his life. We could think about that God, who nobody could look on and live, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God became man, became vulnerable, came through the woman he created and was born to die. Babies are born to live. This one was born to die. So we could pray all that. And I have all that going through my mind. Bishop Sheen says this: the rosary is psychologically one of the greatest of prayers because it draws all our scattered human energies, mind, lips, and fingertips into a single unifying purpose. To those who find prayer difficult, and I dare you to tell me who doesn't, because I do, to those who find prayer difficult, the rhythmic movement of the fingers induces spiritual thoughts. To those who are used to mental prayer, just meditating, the spiritual gains a new dimension when it spills over into the body and comes out on the tips of the fingers. You know, we pray and, you know, you'll get distracted. Don't worry about that. Your fingers will take over for you. Don't worry about it. But we have instructions on how to pray, how to meditate on some of you pray 15 mysteries, some 20 mysteries, all the life of Christ. It's very, very beautiful. Bishop Sheen says this: ours is not an age in which the heavenly therapy of prayer by beads is generally used. But you know, it's very old. The monks did this. The Jews did this because there's 150 beads and there were 150 psalms and the printing press wasn't around. They had to memorize this and they have 50 beads to pray the 50 psalms. And they walked around all the time. The early monks, the desert fathers, before we were given this in the form of the rosary, that's what they did. And it helps you to pray and to chant. And so Bishop Sheen says, ours is not an age in which the heavenly therapy of prayer by beads is generally used. One of the reasons why people today are so frequently worried and fearful is that they keep their minds too busy and their fingers too idle, or else tap a jerking syncopation to the noises of a nervous world. The rosary, by contrast, gathers together our dispersed forces and fixes our minds on holy, simple thoughts, while the fingers, too, are drawn into the magnetic field of worship, because it focuses the whole man toward a single upliving purpose. The rosary can be the greatest of all therapies for troubled modern man. See, you don't even have to pay a psychiatrist. It's very cheap. You don't have to pay anything by the half hour. All you need is a rosary. And if you don't have one, Father Rick's going to send one to you.
That's right.
He's going to send one. He's not going to let anybody be without a rosary.
I know. I have several from him, and they're great.
I know. I know. The combat rosary. I have that one. It will not break. I've tried to smash it. I can't.
There it is, Mother.
Tell us about that one, Father.
Oh, well, you know, I wanted to. I've been in men's ministry because I just, you know, I've been a priest for what, 31 years. And I, you know, at one point I noticed, hey, most of my staff and most of my volunteers and most of my participants at Mass are women. And I felt at one point in my priesthood that we got to reel the men in. And so, and I felt like a lot of rosaries, excluding yours, but a lot of them look like women's jewelry or children's toys or things like that. And I wanted men to be able to understand this whole concept of, you know, Padre Pio, bring me my weapon, that this is a mighty weapon.
Right.
And they are called to be the servant leaders of their families, you know, to be the providers and the protectors of their family. They're called to be the St. Josephs. And so, but at that point, it was something women do. It wasn't something men do. And so I guess I tried to give it a more muscular feel. And I went searching on the internet for rosaries I might find. And I came across one that was made out of pull chain, like you pull from a lamp, but it's also what dog tags hang from. And I started researching. Well, this was actually a World War I military issue issued by the government. Now you can't say Jesus if you're in the government. Issued by the government to soldiers serving in World War I, and they had enough left over for World War II. In fact, I know some World War II vets that say they'll see it and they'll go, oh, that's a service rosary. Anyway, I decided I wanted to make one. And no one at that point had ever made a pull chain rosary since 1916 when they made all the rosaries. And so I made one, and I made mine a little larger. The original is kind of a small rosary. I made mine the normal size rosary, but I did it in pull chain. And then one of the colors, the first color I had was silver, but one of the colors I came up with was gunmetal because, right, it's a weapon. And one thing led to another, and I'll shut up about my rosary that I love so much, but the Swiss Guard found out about this rosary, and one thing led to another. Now, if you look at a Swiss Guard, you know that in their pocket, because the commandant wants them to carry the rosary and receive the graces from that, they're carrying the gunmetal combat rosary that I designed. So that's
fabulous. The Swiss Guard at the Vatican?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
If you see a Swiss Guard, the commandant wants all of them to carry, you know, like you're carrying a weapon. And it's pretty cool. So, and you can get it at RomanCatholicGear.com if you want to get these rosaries. But I'm not here to hawk the rosary. But I will say this, is that a lot of people are picking up the rosary that never thought about praying it before. And it is this idea that, you know, the devil's eating our lunch in a lot of ways. And we got to do something. Well, we got to pray the rosary. And I think we're going to get into that more in the next segment, but I'm just getting over a cold, excuse me. But but anyways, what I wanted to say based on your beautiful reflection there, Mother, and what you shared from Fulton Sheen is, you know, remember when Jesus said, unless you become like this child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Right.
You know, one of the things I find myself doing when I'm praying the rosary is let mom be my mom. And I imagine myself as that little child in her arms. And you know how, you'll see that beautiful scene of a mother where she's holding their child and they're just gazing at each other. And there's just this sense of oneness with the child and her mother. I experience that when I pray the rosary many times. And sometimes too, you know, the Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. It's almost like a child cooing, isn't it?
Mommy, yeah. I love you. Mommy, I love you.
I love you. Mommy, I love you.
One of the most beautiful pictures I've ever seen is a mother breastfeeding her baby and praying the rosary on the baby's toes.
Oh, that is great.
Isn't it wonderful?
You know, if I don't have a rosary handy, I use the remote control for the TV. But anyways,
Mother, one of the things, Mother, that I really like that you brought up about Fulton Sheen, and I've not read that much of what you commented on there, but I know he has said so much about the psychological side of the rosary, that, you know, there's knowledge that the mind needs to have time to step back from the things of the world, to shut down, to meditate. And that this is the most powerful, this is the right kind of meditation for the mind to do. But that there's actual physical, rejuvenation, regrowth, healing on a physical level.
You're right.
That the mind goes through. And Fulton Sheen was big on that. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, was he not talking about that?
Yes. In fact, I'm going to read this sentence from him that says what you're saying. He says, a faint suspicion of this fact has begun to penetrate into some hospitals. It's just what you're saying, Doug. Nervous and combat fatigued patients, Father, the ones that need your rosary, combat fatigued patients are taught to knit or weave to relax their nervous system, their nervous tension. The disadvantage of this treatment is that it is only partial. The patient's mind is not involved, but in the rosary, all faculties, mind, will, imagination, memory, desires, hopes, and muscles are directed to the divine. There is seemingly much repetition in the rosary, but actually, this is no more wearying or monotonous than a man's telling a woman, I love you for the 20th time. You know, some wives say, do you love me? And he said, yeah, I told you 6 months ago. Why are you asking me right now? Right. For the 20th time, since there is a new moment in time to be redeemed. Listen to this beautiful statement. Since there is a new moment in time to be redeemed by love, his words may be the same, but the meaning of each avowal is slightly different. Every time he says it differently. She hears it differently. So in the rosary, we say over and over to God, I love you, I love you, and I love you. And he says the beads carry the burden of the prayers, while the decades record the 15 scenes, or now we have 20, played out in the great drama of our redemption. Bead by bead, decade by decade, the soul climbs from one mystery to the next, to that love we fall short of in all love, to that beauty that leaves all other beauty pain. Wow. You know, I'll just finish here with what he says, but people may say, well, I pray the rosary, I don't experience all that, but you will. Pray it every day like Our Lady of Fatima asked, and you will.
And I just want to establish here that I tell my wife that I love her several times a day. Just nice. I'm going to make that clear. So.
You see? And you think she ever gets bored?
No, she does. And you're right. You know, I can do it by sending her a text message. I can do it. Obviously, I do it in person. I do it on the phone. And it's just, it becomes part of the relationship. And, you know, you mentioned earlier, Mother, about just being in the presence with someone, you know, when, you know, love reaches that point when you just want to be in the presence of them. And the rosary is a great way to just be in the presence, you know, of our Lord and our Lady. And it's the same. My wife and I, we're going on 30 years of marriage coming up here in a few months. And we just love to be together. And even if we're not talking verbally all the time, we're in the room together, maybe holding a hand or sitting across from one another, whatever it may be, you know, but we're just in the presence of one another. And you're right. It just deepens that love. You know, when you've established the relationship, obviously, you know, there, because I know some people are thinking I'm in the presence of my spouse and it's not that, I can tell you. Well, you gotta do things to nurture the relationship along the way. And that's what praying the rosary is. Another point is, I know lately when Fulton Sheen says this, that's back in his time, and he died, what, 1979 or so, I believe.
Maybe.
But since then, I know even people who struggle with addiction to pornography and drugs, where they have brain scans showing the brain looks like a, a piece of Swiss cheese with holes all over it from the chemical imbalance of even pornography, methamphetamines, cocaine, and so forth. They have found in some studies that praying the rosary helps to rebuild the connections.
Fabulous, though.
It's incredible. So you know, people out there struggling with pornography, even which we know is a chronic epidemic out there. It's a tremendous problem. Getting in the habit, not only spiritually can it help, but it can help on the rebuilding of the brain. Of course, other things have to be in place. We have to stop engaging in these things that are destroying our brain. But the rebuilding of it even can be done in some ways by praying the rosary.
You can't just stop and leave a void. You have to fill it in.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, well, we're gonna stop right now with this segment.
And you stop? I love talking to Doug.
Well, we're going to come right back.
Thank you, Mother. But no,
this is amazing, Mother, and we're so glad to be with you tonight. And but we'll take one last break, and we'll be back for more of this amazing time with Mother Miriam.
Carried by the Swiss Guard and founded on the 1916 World War I U.S. Military Service Rosary, this authentic combat rosary includes an exorcism and blessing of the Medal of St. Benedict and the traditional rosary blessing. In Mary's own words, devotion to my rosary is a great sign of predestination. If heaven is your destination, then this rosary is your weapon to get there. The authentic combat rosary comes in four colors: silver, gold, bronze, and gunmetal. You can find this rosary at RomanCatholicGear.com.
All right, we're back at the United States Grace Force podcast. This has just been amazing with Mother Miriam. I wanted to start this segment just because a lot of people might tune in for the first time, and they might go, United States Grace Force, what the heck is that? Well, really what it is, and I'll give a brief synopsis, but we decided back in 2016, now this is right after that the Supreme Court made the decision to go against traditional marriage, and you know, we saw, you know, the Islamic terrorism ramping up all around, and we were going into a contentious election. I said, we got to pray. And so using social media, I put a call out and said, you know, why don't we pray together the rosary? And why don't we use the miraculous 54-day rosary novena, the 54-day rosary novena? And lo and behold, 30,000 people responded to that. And so what I did was I packaged it all so that I could send them daily emails and put it up on social media. But I actually took all the elements of what it means to excel as a Catholic Christian, the virtues and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all this stuff, and put it out in tiny reflections, and then how to pray that 54-day rosary after that. And we did that first year. The second year was the year of Fatima. And we grew to, I think, gosh, about 35 to 40,000 then. And then the next year, we were into that contentious time. You might remember with Kavanaugh and all that. We grew to about 45,000 people. Well, this year we're up to over 57,000 people that are part of what I now have dubbed the United States Grace Force. I kind of got the idea from the United States wants to start the Space Force. And I went, wait, the Grace Force, you know? yeah. And so, well, what it is people who truly believe in the power of grace. They believe in the miracle power of God. And so they go to confession often and they pray the rosary and they believe when they call it to God, he'll answer their prayers. And so this is a mighty, I call them the Navy SEALs of the Catholic Church. This is a mighty, mighty force of people in unison calling out to God. And actually today, again, we're recording on Monday, October 7th, okay, is the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. This will go live on the 9th, is the 54th day of our 54-day Rosary Novena. Yeah. And then what we're asking people to do, and we did this last year and we're doing it again this year, but we're asking people on the Feast of the Miracle of the Sun, Sunday, October 13th, if they could just get a group together. It doesn't have to be a big group. But just get a group together and go to some public place and pray the rosary for our nation, for our church. Yeah. And what we're asking people to do is at 3 p.m. Central Time, so whatever that is in your time zone, pray the glorious mysteries together, and then we'll also make the Marian consecration together. Now, wow. Last year we had over 1,200 sites. That was the first time we did it. It's called Rosary Coast to Coast. and you can find it at rosarycoasttocoast.com. You can find a map there when you scroll down the page, and on the map, it already has all the little flags on the map of the United States of people who already have signed up. And, you know, you just give your name and your address, and, you know, then people will know if there's something in their area they can go to, and, or if you want to sign your site up too. So, next Sunday, October 13th, 3 PM, Glorious Mysteries with, Rosary Coast to Coast. And realize too, over 50 countries are participating as well, just not the United States. So this is amazing. We believe that when we call out to God, and that when we, you know, when we humble ourselves, that God will heal our land. You know, that comes from 2 Chronicles. And so we believe there's power in this force to be reckoned with. So join the United States Grace Force. You can find out how to do that at rosarycoasttocoast.com. It's also at usgraceforce.com. So we believe in the power of God. We believe the rosary is a mighty weapon. We believe that collectively it matters. And so please join us. What do you think of all that, Mother?
I think it's absolutely fantastic. And Father, I didn't tell you, I don't think I've ever told anybody, but this new community, religious community, came out of a 54-day novena.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. It did. It's a bit of a story. Do you remember little Abna and the Shmoo?
Okay, yes. Yep,
is anybody old enough for that? Forget it, though.
You're baby. Yeah.
But Father is really old, and he remembers.
I know, right?
So when I was a little kid, I'm older than you, so I could say that. So when I was a little one, we had the cartoon Little Abna, and Little Abna had a shmoo. A little cartoon looked like a bowling ball, just a little head and a big fat body with two eyes and two legs, and the shmoo lived to die. He had the power to grant someone's greatest wish, and but he said make it good, because he would be extinct when if he granted it to you. So I came one day before our Lord and our Blessed Mother, and I said, Lord, I want to be a shmoo. I don't want to die. I want to live, but I want to live for what I'm made for. I was doing a lot at the time with Catholic Answers and everything else, but it wasn't enough. I come home and it wasn't enough. I wanted to do more. I said, so do with me what I'm made for. I didn't know what it was. And so I prayed a 54-day novena, and go figure. Blame it on our mother. What can I tell you? And then I was talking to a whole group, and there was a Jewish woman there about the 54-day novena. And she said, Mother, she's Jewish. She wasn't even interested in Christianity, let alone Catholicism. And she said, I want a rosary. I want to start praying it. I said, but you're Jewish. She said, I figured it couldn't hurt. So so she's praying it. But you reminded me of when I was looking into the Catholic Church, and I watched Our Lady of Fatima. And when the three children, because my brother David was Catholic and he was trying to make me one, and So he showed me Our Lady of Fatima, and I watched as the three children were before her, and she told Jacinta and Francisco that she told Lucia she was going to take Jacinta and Francisco home to heaven. And Lucia begged her, she said, please, dear lady, don't take them. I'll suffer for them and be glad, but don't leave me here alone. And the lady said to her, my immaculate heart will be your refuge and the path that leads you to God. You know what I did as an evangelical Protestant? I left the room. I went into the bathroom, excuse the expression. I closed the door and I cried my eyes out. Mm. I was an evangelical Protestant. I knew Jesus for 16 years at that point. If I become Catholic, I have to go backwards now and go through Mary. I've been going to Jesus directly all this time. And then I went back and watched the film and all. I hated that film so much. I watched it 20 times. I have it all memorized. So now I'm in the church. I'm Catholic 24 years. I could hardly believe it. And I will tell you, based on every breath and cell in me, that the quickest, surest, most complete way of knowing Jesus is through Mary. There is no greater way to have a personal relationship with our Lord than to go through the mother that he gave us. She's a Jewish mother. She knows him more than we can know him. And I tell you, I didn't want a relationship with Mary. I didn't understand that, but God did it. And I didn't want the rosary. I didn't want anything. And I just started, and God led me and Our Lady led me. And now I tell you what, I have the lady of our community is Our Lady of Guadalupe. And looks a little like this one. And I say to people, there's only one mother of the Messiah. She shows up all over the world in different outfits. But there's no way to love and know Jesus more than to go through Mary. Right, Doug?
Oh, absolutely, Mother.
So that's why.
Well, and you know what? As you say that, you know, I mean, it brings tears to my eyes. And I don't say that very often publicly, but I do get tears in my eyes sometimes, right?
I know. I've been witness to that.
Yeah.
You sensitive thing, you.
Oh, yes. All gooey inside, I guess you could say, right? But but you're absolutely right. I mean, as I have Fatima was a big deal for me and my wife. You know, before we got married, we had heard about Marian apparitions, but I was not, I mean, a group Catholic, but I was never aware of what that meant. And God rest the soul of my aunt, Aunt Margaret, and my mother who passed away 2 years ago. Between those two ladies, I was introduced to Our Lady of Fatima. And my then girlfriend, now wife, and I started to look into these apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima. And I was, as you described, I mean, your situation was different, obviously, because you weren't Catholic. But as a Catholic, I remember picking up that little prayer book, you know, my mom had given me. And, you know, it's that the book, I had put it in the drawer. And people out there watching or listening know what I mean by the drawer. You know, we get the Catholic material from grandma or mother. We open a drawer. We say, Thank you very much. We put it in the drawer and we close the drawer. And so I went back and I opened the drawer and I pulled out the book and I started reading through this book on Our Lady of Fatima. And I got to the vision of hell, July 13th, 1917. I put the book down and walked across the room and I turned around and stared at the book. And I'll never forget this. And I thought, that's where I feel like I'm headed. Not because I was a crazy, wild man, but I was lukewarm. I just wasn't taking anything really as serious as I should. And I thought, I can't read that anymore. But then I walked back over and within a few minutes, I had it back in my hands and I finished reading it. It wasn't a very thick book, but it was enough. And boy, did she bring me to her son in a way I had never imagined I could be brought to him. And so when I read scripture verses now, when I think of the things that he said and how he walked and on this earth, and it just moves me differently knowing that she was there near him, around him, had formed and shaped so much of him as he grew, and just incredible. So as you say that, Mother, I get tears in my eyes thinking, you know, I can say the same thing as a cradle Catholic I refer to myself as a clock in, clock out Catholic. I went into church, I put my hand in the holy water font and I clocked in, and then I walked out after Mass and I clocked out. And that was my faith until the Blessed Mother in Fatima came into my life. And then everything has changed since then and continues to change.
It's so fantastic. Do I have a minute, Father?
Read something? You have 80 minutes.
Pardon me?
You have 80 minutes. I'm just
80?
Kidding. No, I'm just kidding. You got plenty of time, Mother.
You give it to me, I'll take it. You know this. Okay. This is just too beautiful on Mary, on the Blessed Mother. I can't believe I ever would be saying such a thing, but I'm saying it, and I love it, and I love her. Carol Houselander wrote a book called The Read of God. I don't know if you've read it, but in that, she wrote, in giving life to Jesus, Mary was giving him death. All other children born must inevitably die. Death belongs to fallen nature. The mother's gift to the child is life. But Christ is life. Death did not belong to him. In fact, unless Mary would give him death, he could not die. Unless she would give him the capacity for suffering, he could not suffer. He could only feel cold and hunger and thirst if she gave him her vulnerability to cold and hunger and thirst. He could not know the indifference of friends or treachery or the bitterness of being betrayed unless she gave him a human mind and a human heart. That is what it meant to Mary, to give human nature to God. He was invulnerable and he asked her for a body to be wounded. He was joy itself and he asked Mary to give him tears. He was God and he asked her to make him man. He asked for hands and feet to be nailed. He asked for flesh to be scourged. He asked for blood to be shed. He asked for a heart to be broken. The stable at Bethlehem was the first Calvary. The wooden manger was the first cross. The swaddling bands were the first burial bands. The passion had begun. Christ was man. This too was the first separation. Mary knew that this little son of hers was God's son, and God had not given him to her for herself alone, but for the whole world. Oh. Mary gave Christ to us, yeah. And he came to us through her. And whether we get it or not, whether we believe it or not, whether we're convinced or not, whether we love it or not, we go to him through her, because that's the way he set it up.
You know, Mother, when I was growing up, and I you're right, I'm very old, although I look
30. I know you are.
Yeah, but...
Anyway. But you look very young.
But I thank you for saying that, Mother. But anyways, when I was growing up, there was this phenomenon that when my mom walked into the room and the gentlemen were in there, they stood up.
That's right.
And, you know, sometimes you'll see a good gentleman hold the door and that's very nice, but standing up, that was profound. And it shakes me to even recall it. But that was an era, wasn't it, Mother, where, you know, we understood the role of women, especially mothers, that they were the queen, okay? And there was a sacredness. You know, we understood that us guys can't grow a baby in our belly, you know, that woman, you know, it provides life to the world. But there was a sense of almost this is dignified for sure. It was almost on awe of a mother's presence. And so if you're in that world, then you can understand why, you know, you'll hear nowadays, why go to Mary? Why not go directly to Jesus? Well, if you understand this world and the dignity and the reverence almost that a son gives her mother, you understand that she's the queen. Okay. And so that's why, those who have this connection with Mary understand that, you know, her son can deny her nothing, you know? And so she's been given to us as a precious, precious gift, from God, to be that kind of, advocate, that consoler, and that friend, right? When we stand, I think of St. Louis de Montfort's image where when you have a prayer, you bring it to the edge of heaven, right? And there Mary receives it. And what does she do? She dresses it up and she packages it just right. And she turns and she presents it for you to the throne of God. It's just an amazing image. But that's what moms do, don't they? That's what they do.
Like the little girl who's it's her dad's birthday and her dad's in the living room reading a newspaper with his feet up, and she's all dressed up in her brand new dress and she's playing outside and she falls in the mud and she comes and she's going through the kitchen. Her mom's at the sink and she looks at her daughter. What happened to you? Nothing, mommy. Well, you're all messed up with mud. Where are you going? I'm going to give daddy his gift. Hold it. Wait a minute. So she cleans her up and combs her hair and makes her perfect. Says, okay, now go to daddy. It's right. The same.
Right. Yeah. It's an amazing image. How about you? When you were young, Doug, did you, cause you're younger than me.
Doug's younger than everybody.
That's right.
Except his own sons.
But, am I right? That special, sense of almost reverence or sense of this the sacredness of woman, especially mothers, was replete in an age gone by. And I think that's why people today find it difficult to understand, why are you going through Mary? You know, I'm just going directly to Jesus. Am I right?
Oh, in general, yeah. I mean, one of the number one things I work on when I'm, you know, traveling and speaking, as you know, Father, is I do a lot with men, trying to help men understand that age old, you know, what true masculinity is, godly masculinity of being the protector, the defender, the provider, especially for the ladies in the world, and that every woman has been given this ability to, in one way, shape, or form, be it through religious mother, as Mother Miriam here, a religious mother, or the motherhood of natural, you know, childbirth, or through, you know, maybe they are not able to have childbirth, but they adopt. The fact that a woman has this ability to nurture, to form and shape the incredible depth of a child. And they're not perfect, of course. The ladies in the world, they make
mistakes. Hey.
Well, there may be some. There may be some. But in general, we men need to have an understanding of to stand tall, to be willing to engage in the spiritual and natural battles to protect and defend the ladies, and just make that part of our code of conduct. And it is so difficult these days when I give talks in high schools or to young men across the country. They struggle so much with understanding this. I mean, the culture has undermined it in so many different ways.
Women have undermined it, Doug.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
and by this equality, they've destroyed that.
Right. You know, I think of what, you know, you talked earlier, Mother, about Archbishop Fulton Sheen. And, you know, he had talked much about how communities could be written based on the level of womanhood, and how the nobler a woman is, the nobler a man will be, because a man is designed by God to pursue the heart of a woman. And I say, even as a married man, I will pursue the heart of a woman in different ways. My wife, of course, is unique, and I still try to win her heart. My daughter, I'm going to try to win her heart. But even other ladies in the world, even yourself, Mother, I want your heart to be able to trust me as a man. So it's a different type of winning the heart of a woman than winning the heart of my wife or even my daughter. But still, as a man, I want all ladies to be able to look to me as a man and think, this is a man that loves God, fears God, and will stand tall in the face of evil, will do his best to defend and protect against any manifestation of evil in whatever way, shape, or form God has allowed him to do so. But you're right, Father, this is not taught like it used to be. We husbands and fathers in particular need to raise our families this way more. I've been very honored and blessed to have four sons. I've tried to impart this to them and still encourage them in this, that as a man, stand tall, be a man of God, be a man that protects and defends a lady, and show a particular reverence to what a woman is blessed by God to be able to do. Now, Cardinal Menzenti was the one who said that when a woman stands before God, she does not have to claim that she built cathedrals or solved worldly problems and came up with, I always say, things such as, you know, cures for diseases and such. She doesn't have to do that. If she is a woman who has been blessed by God to even give life in the world, she has done something that he says angels cannot even
That's
do.
That's right.
And that is a beautiful thing to think about. Angels can't even do. But angels can't even do what you can do, Mother Miriam, as a spiritual mother. There's something so unique about the nurturing quality even you can provide as a religious that we men just, we're not given
It's
that.
What God has done. It's what God has himself given, right, the difference right. between men to make the whole thing come together. And I grieve at women who are throwing out the gift that God has given them.
I know.
And don't want to be women. That's what Dr. Alice von Hildebrand says. Why do women wear veils in church? Not because they're inferior, but because they're sacred. And what's right. sacred is covered.
Yes. So beautiful. So on point right there. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, Mother, we have a minute or two left. Do you want to close us out with some final thoughts on how important it is to pray the rosary?
May I?
Yes,
please. I will do that.
Please do.
I will do that. Okay. Now, I'm going to close out with a final thought of Bishop Sheen's, I hope that's okay, on Mary. And if you get to know Mary, beloved, how do I say, when you love someone, and you know something is very important to them, would you not do it? You say, but I don't care that much about the rosary. But Mary does. And Mary gave you the Savior. So let's honor her and pray the rosary and just watch what she'll do in our lives through that rosary. Let me read this. Bishop Sheen says this, because the issue is that she doesn't distance us from God. She brings us to him. And Bishop Sheen says this, as our love does not start with Mary, so neither does it stop with Mary. Mary is a window through which our humanity first catches a glimpse of divinity on earth, or perhaps she is more like a magnifying glass that intensifies our love of her son and makes our prayers more bright and burning. God, who made the sun, S-U-N, also made the moon. The moon doesn't take away from the brilliance of the sun. All its light is reflected from the sun. The moon, Bishop Sheen says, would only be a burnt out cinder floating in the immensity of space were it not for the sun. And so, he says, the Blessed Mother reflects her divine son. Without him, she is nothing. With him, she is the mother of men. And then he says this, this beautiful statement, on dark nights, we are grateful for the moon because when we see it shining, we know there must be a sun. And so in this dark night of the world, when men turn their backs on him who is the light of the world, we look to Mary to guide their feet while we await the sunrise. Is that beautiful? I tell you what, we're fighting for the right to keep guns in this world. If you have a gun, I want you should graduate to a much more deadly weapon. Yep. And it's the rosary. It is the weapon of our warfare. It's Our Lady's weapon, and no pistol, no rifle will outdo her. Pray the rosary, beloved. I dare you to do that. And you don't have to be Catholic. You don't even have to be Jewish. It's for everybody. Right, Father?
Mother, this has been just unbelievable. I hope a lot of people see this. And, you know, I've felt your motherliness during this time together tonight. And I pray a lot of people do. I know that a lot of people will. And so thank you for being with us tonight and helping us to understand a mother's love, our mother, Mary, and to understand the power of the rosary. And I always like to close this time together with a prayer. And it's just the first half of the prayer to the Holy Spirit, asking that everybody who is watching, that they be empowered with that supernatural grace. Maybe it's something that they need to get them to turn their lives around and to decide to give it all to God. But this Veni Sancte Spiritus prayer is one that asks God to just infuse people with the power of God. And I'll close with a blessing as well. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you.